to welcome you to the Block Church Podcast. We're on a mission to revive our city one block at a time, and we hope this message encourages you today.
Welcome to Sit With Me Sunday, and just thrilled so many of you invited friends and family. This is who we are, man. We love Jesus. We know he's changed our life, and we love to talk about him. And I was just thinking about Jesus' persona, the way that he moved. He was never really, I would say, never really in a hurry. He was urgent, but he wasn't in a hurry. And it reminds me, it's Valentine's month, all right? Is it a month, by the way, or is it just one day? I think it's a month. I'm just going to say it's a month because, guys, if you haven't already done what you need to do for Valentine's Day, February's not over, okay? All right, so you're in luck, right? And so I was thinking Valentine's Day, thinking about my wife, and we just celebrated Valentine's Day, and she actually took me to a Boys to Men concert. I know, it was awesome. We go to the end of the road. Still I can't let go. It's unnatural. I belong to you. You belong to me. Man, if I had my voice though, I don't know. That was me froggy. They say, see what I'm saying, guys? It's not too late, okay? And I was singing to her at the concert. It was better than them on stage. I'm just telling you. They did sing this one song, like maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, maybe I shouldn't sing it, but it's like for married folks only. Amen. It's like, you know, it's like, girl, relax. You know that one? Let's go. Man, y'all gonna be married to hear that one, okay? We ain't got nowhere to go. Okay, I gotta stop. I should stop. We should stop. Okay, we're in church. But I was just thinking, when we were dating, where did that even come from? How did that hit the caverns of my brain? February, Valentine's Day, Jesus, and how I don't know. Either way, when we were dating, that's why it hit there. When we were dating, we lived in upstate New York. And anybody ever been to upstate New York? It's always cold. It's like July, and it's like, it could snow today. It's like, what, why? You know, so, but I use that to my advantage when we were dating because I loved to take walks. I like to take walks. But like, my wife doesn't like to take walks with me. It's kind of a problem. Reason is because the way I walk is I like to mosey, you know, like an old man. Like, I just kind of like to move slow. And like, when we go, like, I want to go to like shopping, but not buy anything. You know, like, I just want to look in, move real slow. Because, like, if you're smart, you don't have to buy stuff. You can just see stuff that is in style. You go home and you just cut stuff you already have. Right? Amen. Okay. So, but anyway, so I'm like, I like to just move real slow. My wife hates that. Like, she wants to walk with a purpose. But when we were upstate New York dating, like, we would go on this track and walk. And, like, there were, and I loved it because there was all these benches along the way. Because I didn't, like, what I liked about moving slow is like, I'm just moving slow so that I can get to the next bench to sit. And so we would, I'd be like, come on, baby, sit with me. You know, like, I just want to sit close, you know, like try to steal a kiss or something, you know. Like, I like to be close and sit down. And again, it's besides the point that she never liked to walk around with me because I move so slow. And she's like, this is not exercise. And I was like, I was never trying to exercise except my right to be your man. You know, like, that's all I was trying to, whatever, right? I'm sorry. I'm so out of control today. I'm sorry. Okay. So anyway, but I was thinking, I'm going to make this spiritual somehow. I was thinking that, like, I'm not, like, fully like Jesus the way I want to be, but, like, I'm kind of on my way because Jesus liked to move and sit. Like, he was actually, like, loved to sit. He walked, and he was never in a hurry. While he had urgency and there was a purpose to it, he was never in a hurry. He was actually, you found him all through the scriptures sitting with people. He would move, he'd walk to the next place, and then he'd sit for a while. I mean, I think of him, John chapter 4, he's talking to this woman who had five husbands and she's living with a sixth. And what is he doing? He's just sitting there, just kind of having a conversation. And like I went through the scriptures because I was thinking, sit with me. Like, how much did Jesus actually sit out? And so I saw this one scripture in Luke. He was young, okay? And he was real young, and he kind of left his parents' convoy back. And the Bible says 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers. Sitting among the religious teachers. He's answering questions. He's talking. He's like little. And he's listening to them, and he's asking questions. So he's sitting in the temple. In Matthew, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Another example, in Luke again, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual, which was a practice for him to make the house of God his usual, on the Sabbath, and he stood up, focus here, he stood up to read the scriptures, but then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. And when he sat down, the Bible says, all eyes on the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. It's really fascinating to me because I started to research, like, Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi. And actually, it was ordinary and regular for them when they were in the temple, when they're in the synagogue, to, when they were reading the scriptures, stand up and show it reverence and honor, because it was so hard to get the scriptures and somebody paid a price to tell these stories and to write them down perfectly. They had to sew it together. Synagogues could only have one scroll of scriptures unless they were really wealthy. Maybe they had two. So when the teacher would teach, he would open up and he would read it as if it was the word of God, which it was, the voice of God. They would read it with reverence. But when the rabbi would teach, he would actually sit down and commentate, teach, invite. Rabbis were known to take their disciples on walks, teach them, show them, then sit with them. And it just blows my mind because rabbis were brilliant because they weren't just saying things, they were showing things. Yeah. And I think that's kind of how Jesus is. He's not just saying things. We're not just reading things in the scripture. He's also showing us stuff that we didn't even see existed. And most importantly, I read even earlier this week in a commentary that these individuals, they would come to the temple with their dirty feet, dusty feet. They didn't have fully clothed in shoes. They'd come and they'd sit with their dirtiness and their dustiness at the feet of the teacher, and he would come and level down to sit with them and talk. It reminded me why Jesus was so popular. Jesus was so popular because while he was healing people and while he was powerful and he was controversial because he was saying, I'm the Son of God, he was also doing something even most remarkable in regards to all that. Jesus was letting them know that religion is kind of rule-based. All this, the scriptures we're reading, there's something more to it. Like all of these rules you're seeing, there's actually something that's being illuminated. I actually want relationship with you. I'm the representative of God. I am God. I'm God's spirit. And I'm leveling down to be with you even in your lowest and darkest and dirtiest place. See, this is what religion is. Religion is a set of rules, leaders, and people I can't quite measure up to. That's what it is. And some of us, that's the way that we've thought about church and Christianity. It's like, this is all it is. It's rules. It's all it is. I got to show up at this time. I got to do this. I feel guilty, right? It's like, I can never measure up to the leaders or to the people, all of these different things. It's rules and leaders that you can't. But relationship with Jesus is breaking rules with a leader who gets on my level and then gives me people I can sit with too. Like this is who Jesus is. This is what I'm trying to describe to you. As a teacher, he might have stood up to read the scrolls, but then he got on the level with the people to show them who he was. And maybe it's been a real long time since you've been in church, or it's been a real long time since you've had the idea of God, or maybe you just have this preconceived notion about what God is or who he is. Let me tell you something. Jesus was a rule breaker. And he broke every single divide to come and to sit with people. And today he's sitting next to you, inviting you to experience not religion and not rules, but grace and mercy. I mean, Jesus, there was a woman caught in sin, caught in the act of adultery. Well, what does he do? Instead of throwing her out, he kneels down to get on her level and say, anybody else who has sin, you throw the first stone, who never had sin. And then he sits there on her level and he says, okay, let's walk together. I want to sit with you. Go and sin no more. Look at Jesus on the cross as he's about to die. Even as he's on his way to death, he's on the cross and he looks over and he's got one person mocking him and another person repenting to him. And he says, I don't care what you've done, who you've been, where you were. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Come sit with me. Now, this is the Jesus that we know. And I don't know what you know about God or what you think you know about God, but what I'm here to tell you is Jesus is an inviter, and he's not trying to move too fast. He's just trying to sit with you. I want to go to another scripture, I think, that illuminates this today. I want to tell you a story in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says that one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He was the word of God. They were listening to him. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets, meaning they were done fishing. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. What's happening here is Jesus, again, he's popular. And he's preaching life. People are literally seeing the word of God come to life. They're seeing and hearing things that's moving them. And so many people are crowding around him that no longer can he sit in his posture of teaching. Now he's standing up and now he's being backed into the water to the point where if they keep coming, he might have to walk on water too soon. And so he looks around, because here's the thing is God knows what he's doing, and he places himself in situations and circumstances that we think that are happenstance, but it's really his whole plan the whole time. And so he's at the edge here knowing this was going to happen, and he looks around and he notices boats, but really what he notices are not boats. He notices Simon. Simon, who's going to become something, someone with a potential, somebody who was a cursing, nobody, no good sailor with really no purpose in their life but to catch fish and eat it and to sell it. But God saw something bigger than that. It's just that Simon hadn't seen it yet. So Jesus, obnoxiously and maybe even annoyingly, says, I'm getting in your boat. And while I'm here, push out to the water. I mean, if you're Simon, and in this moment, somebody gets in your boat who's a stranger, and you see him teaching, and you're like, excuse me. You know, here's what I know about God. Without permission, he'll sit in your business at just the right time. He will, without permission. Because God doesn't have to ask your permission. He created you. Like, with my son, I'm not asking his position or his, what am I saying? I'm not asking his permission. Like, son, do you want to go downstairs? I'm asking him to give him an opportunity to be blessed. Go ahead. If we're going downstairs, whether you like it or not, I'm giving you an opportunity to submit and understand dad is in charge around here. God doesn't have to ask your permission, but that's the thing, that's the challenging thing about the gospel, because while it's good news and while it's great news, while it's wonderful, God will sometimes do some things and get in your business at just the right time, but it won't feel like the right time. Think about Simon. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm all of these different things. This is not a good time, God. But that's the perfect time for God. I had a trainer in high school, and I hated him. I mean, I loved him, but like mainly hated him, you know? Like, anybody have anybody like that that got in your business at just the right time? Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was girlfriend or boyfriend. Like, you were going nowhere fast, but then you met them, and all of a sudden, like, things, you have a job now, you know? It was like you shave now. Like, thank you. Like somebody was pretty and you're just like, oh, there's hope for me, you know? whatever. Like, or like maybe it was, a parent that always stayed on you for you to meet your potential. Or maybe it was a pastor or a leader or somebody. And they would get in your business and it was annoying, but it was necessary. My trainer in high school, he saw potential in me. And it was so annoying because after football season, he made me join the track team because he was the track coach. Now, I'm a husky little kid. I don't want to run around in the blistering sun. I don't belong there. But he saw potential in me. He says, you need to get faster. And this is how we're going to do it. And so he would do this thing at track meets, which I think was actually illegal, but it's yesterday's stuff. You know, God's a redeemer. But anyway, and so we do these track meets. And so when one of his elite track runners, when they were already qualified for another race or when they already qualified or when they were resting them for like another relay and they didn't need to run this race, if he didn't want them to run in a specific race, he'd be like, Joey, I want you to go check in at so-and-so and run in their heat. Now, that's so messed up, okay? Like, because their heat was with the fastest people. And I'd check in at so-and-so, and then I'd be up there like, 3, 2, 1. You know, it's like everyone's like, and I'm like, oh, God, this is embarrassing. But he'd make me do this because as much as it was frustrating, it made me faster. Now, let me say that again. As frustrating as it was, it made me faster. And he was always on me about my form and how I was doing it. But he always put me around elite athletes. He always put me around NFL players or people who had gotten scholarships. He loved me and he saw potential in me. But he would call me on the phone and I'd pick up and he'd be like, what are you doing? It better not be watching TV and eating Cheetos. And I'd be like, nope, it's not. You know, like he provided a tension. And the thing is, it's like, that's where God works, in the tension. Yes. And then this is where Simon is. It's the tension. It's, I don't know you, what do you know? And then verse 4 and 5 says this. It says, when Jesus finished preaching, he says to Simon, now that I'm in your boat and in your business and you're uncomfortable, why don't you go a little deeper and let down your nets to get some fish? His response is, Master, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Now, let's take out, but if you say so, for a minute, okay? Let's pretend we didn't hear that. We worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. This is like how I am with God. God speaks, God shows up. Jesus is in my business a little bit, and I'm feeling that tension, that frustration that's going to make me faster and better. But I'm tired. I'm disappointed. God, what do you know about fishing?
Go ahead.
You're a carpenter. You're a teacher. I do this for a living. It's better for us to fish at nighttime, but it's the daytime. You already got in my boat and made a lot of noise and you scared all the fish away anyway. Jesus, what do you know about, you stick to religion. You stick to rules. You stick to the same stuff. You stick to what you're good at. I'll stick to what I'm good at. And Jesus is going, are you really good at it? You didn't catch nothing all night anyway. But of course he's not rude like I would be. Right, and it's just like if I'm Simon, I'm tired, I'm disappointed. Have you ever been there? Even in your faith, you're like, I'm tired. I'm not sure I believe right now. Somebody invited me. Not even sure I like them. Like I'm just frustrated. I feel like I've been going all night. I just feel like, oh, I'm just done. Have you ever been there? Just why is this keep happening? Why does the same bad stuff keep taking place? Why am I fearing and feeling what I'm feeling? I'm tired. I don't know if I trust church people. I don't know if I trust God. I don't know if I trust the church. God, you've let me down. Where are you at? I'm supposed to have what I need. I'm supposed to have what you promised. It's not going the way I thought. Have you been there? And here's Simon, literally sitting with Jesus, and Jesus going, dude, just sit down with me. I've got a plan. And I say that to so many of you today, that Jesus is literally saying, sit down with me. I have a plan. There's not power in your seat. There's power in what happens when you sit in that seat. I am the power. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I offer you something that will fulfill you. And I know you've been chasing stuff and trying to get stuff to happen for yourself. And you've been going from job to job and thing to thing and relationship to relationship and person to person, all this stuff, but it's not getting the job done. And the thing is to experience the beautiful proof of God and his love, it takes an unusual and uncomfortable step of faith. And this is what Simon is facing. This is what some of you are facing. You're here, and maybe it was a step of faith to actually come to church. Maybe it was a step of faith to say yes. Maybe it was a step of faith to walk in, and you thought the place was going to burn down when you came, but it didn't. It took a step of faith to even sing or even give, or it took a step of faith to like even let your heart and your guard down to hear this message. It took a step of faith, but you're here and you've been doing it your way and it's not working, and you got all the money in the world, but it still doesn't satisfy you. Why? You know, what happens in the scripture next isn't at this time, right? He goes out, he listens, he takes the step of faith. And the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Anybody want some good problems like that? Right? Listen to this. A shout for help. I need help. It's too many fish. So they bring all their partners in the boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. On the verge of sinking. Guys, this is good problems. Like, some of us have good problems. Like, for instance, I got good problems. Our church, we got good problems. Been asking people for like 17 months, please, if you go to the 10:30, please go to the 9 a.m. If you go to the Northeast, go. I need 50 people to go to Port Richmond because we can't fit anybody anymore. I could get mad about that, or I could go, good problems. By the way, all of those options are welcome. Right, like, man, like, I got kids and they're a little crazy, right? And they got a lot of energy, and I'm complaining because I ain't had a nap in 36 years. But like, I could have a kid that doesn't say anything or doesn't love me, or has certain issues that don't allow them to have energy. I got good problems. It's about perspective. Or like, yeah, my job's not perfect, but like, man, I never missed a bill, never missed a mortgage payment. Sounds like I got good problems. So what I'm saying though is, some of us, we got a lot of good problems, yet we're still not happy. Oh, we got fish coming out of our ears. We got stuff piling up. We got money. We got cars. We've got a relationship. We got a marriage that we prayed for, but now it's here, and now we're miserable. Is it possible that you've got it all? You've got the overflow. You got the good problems, but you're not happy because you don't have Jesus. You got the stuff that Jesus gave you. You got the blessing, but you don't know the blesser. And Jesus is sitting here saying to you, it's not about all that stuff. I'm showing you, Simon, what I can do, but I want to do something even deeper. It's not about the fish, Simon. It's not about the blessing, Simon. It's not about gaining things. This is where we have Christianity and church all wrong, because we're going, oh man, if I abide by the rules, and if I do this and if I do that, then I can get stuff. And the end goal is not to get stuff. It's to recognize that Jesus has invited you to sit with him, and you can mosey up and cozy up next to Jesus. And all of a sudden, the stuff that didn't satisfy anymore, your heart might come on fire, and you might have hope in a box. And here's Simon recognizing and experiencing, this is real. And it's bigger than just fish in a boat. Like, my heart's on fire. In fact, he says that. He really says it in a sense. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he says, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man." Can you go back to that verse for just a second? I'm a sinful man. That's his response. And listen to me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Some of us, this has been our response. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'm a sinful man. So God, get away from me. Church, get away from me. People of God, get away from me. And like, that's not the heart of God. God's going, "You're a sinful man. Let's sit down." Yeah. Not go away. And then Peter, he's awestruck. Like he has wonder. It like reminds me of my dog. My dog has never lost his wonder of seeing people. Still pees on him when he sees them. He's so happy. Like, I want that kind of wonder without the pee. But you know what I'm saying? He's awestruck by the number of fish they caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." See, it was never about the fish. It was an illustration because he's a good rabbi. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. You're here today. You thought it was to please a friend. It wasn't about that. It was about all the other people that are going to be transformed because God touches your life. Wow. It's about the James and the Johns that are looking on and saying, "I see a change in you. What is happening? You are not too far gone. It's not too late. God's not mad at you. Actually, he's about to interrupt you at just the right time." And that's what Jesus does. He so often gets in our business and interrupts our direction because he wants to change your aim and he wants to change your name. Simon was Simon, and then Simon became Peter. And Peter, it's Peter who was like our first pastor. God puts this whole thing on Peter, like this cursing, angry, disbelieving sailor. He goes, "Hey, by the way, when I leave, you're in charge." Yeah. This guy who's like, "Yo, why are you in my business? You don't even know how to fish." And Jesus is like, "You're right. I'm about to teach you to fish for what matters." Yeah. And God is about to show some of you what really matters. And it's going to change everything. You think the seat has the power? No. The power is not in the seat. The power is in what happens when you sit in the seat. And I want to tell you two stories before we go, because there's nothing more important than this. I want to tell you two stories of how a seat has changed everything. God bless you.
My name's Alexis King, and I want to tell you a little bit about where I sit, because this seat changed everything. I didn't grow up in a faithful household. I lived so much of my life in fear, with anxiety that made it hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. I had a good job, I lived in the city, I had great friends, and from the outside, things should have been wonderful, but I was really in a low place for a lot of years. So I started looking around at people in my life that had hope and joy and strength, and started trying to figure out where they got it from. And so many of those people got it from their faith. So I did a Google search of churches in Philadelphia, and the Block Church came up. And on Vision Sunday of 2019, I came to the Block Church for the first time. When I got to our Port Richmond location that Sunday morning, I valeted my car, which was new to me as well. But when I got out of the car, I was welcomed with such a smile by someone on the sidewalk. I think I told them, "Listen, this is my first time." I was definitely nervous, but I knew I was taking a really important step. The most impactful thing about being there that morning was the way I was welcomed. They didn't care where I had come from, they didn't care what my past looked like, but they just wanted to not only hear my story, but be a part of it. I met Pastor Grace for a coffee, I think the Thursday afterwards, and we just had such a candid conversation around who I was and what I wanted my journey to look like. And she immediately invited me to her block group that was starting that next week. A couple weeks after my block group had started, I was taking a journey to Florida to meet with my sister at her rehab center and seeing her for the first time in over 3 years, which was a really tough step for me to put myself out there with her, to open up those lines of communication again. I have been impacted so greatly by this experience and by this place that I wanted my family to share in that. I wanted my family to feel what I felt and see why it's so important to me that we walk this together. Because of the community that I had and the way that people walked with me and the way that I felt so uplifted and supported, I never missed a Sunday. I was there every Sunday in the morning, even if I was traveling. Center City had evening services that allowed me to still be there and be present and be in this community. And that's where I met Maria.
I'm Maria Inklingo. This is my seat, and this seat has changed everything for me. I'm from a very large Italian Roman Catholic household. All we knew was pasta and Jesus on Mass on Sundays. To say that my life has been transformed and that I'm a different person is an understatement. For anyone that has ever met me prior to 2018 would be shocked and are currently in a state of shock to see what my life has become. I felt like everyone was out to get me. Everything was everybody else's fault and not my own. I was very cold and skeptical in the same similar way I was when I walked into the block church and saw people raising their hands for the first time. I was concerned about what others thought. I was very judgy. That's how I lived my life. I lived my life in a state of, I have to protect myself. Head always on a swivel. I'm the only person that can get myself out of a situation. And I just had to constantly, you know, keep my head above water and that everything was going to go negatively. And I was just there to fight off the negativity. So my sister invited me to go to this church with her, and they just happened to meet at my dad's hall. My father owns Richmond Hall in Port Richmond, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll go check this out and see what I'm getting myself into. So walking into the block church for my first time, I remember I sat on the right-hand side and with my sister, and I just felt like I had no idea where I was, right? I was like, this is not church. This cannot be, you know, my God. There's smoke and there's lights and there's music and people are having a great time and they're putting their hands up. And I just was such a skeptic as to like, what was I walking into? But once I sat down and Joey came on the screen and started preaching, I just felt an overwhelming sense of comfort and relief to know that, you know, he was preaching from the Bible and he was interpreting it so I can understand it and apply it to my life. So I'm a block group leader now and I needed some recruits for my group. So I decided to go down and check out the Center City location. And when I got to Center City, Grace introduced me to Alexis.
And when service ended, Maria offered to give me a ride home. And we got in the car and just started to talk about, you know, why we had been at church that day, how long we had been coming to the block, kind of what our journeys had looked like. A couple weeks later, we caught up for lunch and I immediately joined the block group that she was leading. It really felt like she was this missing piece in my life that really got where I had been, but also where I was going. I had been inviting my mom to come to church with me. She was seeing the transformation in me and I really wanted her to experience that for herself. So the Fillmore was super enticing. It being at that venue and being on such a big scale, I'd been talking about, you know, how big of an event, how exciting it was gonna be, and she was excited to come.
So when the Fillmore started to come up, I got so excited. I wanted to invite everybody and anybody that I knew. I really took the challenge of inviting people and inviting the Fillmore Five, but I went a little bit overboard because that's what I tend to do, and I decided to invite 25 people, which I wrote down every single person's name and put it in my Bible and went to the prayer walk and prayed over their names, and I was just expecting God to move in their life.
I was serving that day and really wasn't able to sit with her, but Maria came with a huge squad of people, and she really said, like, have your mom come sit with me and my family. I was backstage, so I wasn't able to see everything that was going on. I kept peeking out just to see if she was liking it, what was going on stage. And Pastor Joey was preaching from the stage, and Maria had texted me towards the end of service and just said, you know, your mom raised your hand for salvation. And I just was backstage weeping, just so excited that she had experienced this and she saw the power of what I had felt. You have a seat here. You are welcome here. And the seat that you're in can be an entire change for you, like it was for me. It was a step of courage for me to come here for the first time, allowing me to be vulnerable when I was probably a little bit scared to. But that vulnerability turned into relationships, turned into softening my heart, to allowing me to really be free from everything that held me back before.
If I was gonna lose everything today, I have no fear, because my God has me and He has given me the community that I need to get through anything. I'm Maria Inklingo. This is my seat, and this seat has changed everything for me.
I'm Alexis King, and my seat has changed everything for me.
Our hope is that this message touched your heart today. We'd love if you would consider joining us on one of our weekend experiences. Visit theblockchurch.org to see service times, locations, and ways to give so that we can see our city revived.